Give Us This Day Evening Edition is a devotional reflection upon the New Testament lesson from the Order for Evening Prayer from the Book of Common Prayer 1928. These reflections are written and presented by Father Charles Erlinson, who serves at the Church of the Good Shepherd Reformed Episcopal Church in Tyler, Texas.
Today is Saturday of the 23rd Sunday after Trinity. The lesson is taken from Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 through 10.
When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elder, saying, I have sinned, in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, It is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me.
He had been plotting it for weeks now, the evil thing that had to be done. For some time he had grown frustrated and disappointed at the sharp difference between what was promised and what was. It wasn't at all what he had bargained for, he told himself, and so he had the right to take matters into his own hand. It wasn't just that things were not as they were promised to be. He didn't feel valued. He alone knew the true value of things. That's why they had all agreed to entrust the common purse to him. He alone had seen how wasteful they all could be. What embarrassing extravagance to pour a year's worth of ointment on his feet. So what if he skimmed a little off the top every once in a while? He was owed. He'd given up a lot to become part of this company, and he'd staked his reputation on this Jesus. And where had it gotten him? Nowhere. It was time to act on the plans he had only dreamed about previously. It was time to put the escape plan into effect. And so he had great plans when he went to the chief priest and asked what he could receive for delivering Jesus to them. 30 pieces of silver, eh? The price of a slave. It wasn't as much as he was hoping for, but there wasn't exactly another place in town he could go to get anything. 30 pieces of silver was something to build on, and it would get Jesus out of the way so that he could begin a new life without him or his failed mission. It had seemed delicious in his mind as he anticipated the plans he was making. He had thought about it for so long and waited so patiently. Finally, he would be in charge of his own life again, and things would be made right. The actual transaction was not as delicious as he had anticipated, but it was kind of thrilling, this deal made in the dark, this being important to important men. It felt good to be the one making things happen again, and he told himself that the real payoff would come once he had made his new beginning. He wasn't exactly sure what he had expected they would do with Jesus. The truth is, he hadn't really thought much about it. It was just a dirty job that had to be done, and what was that to him? But somehow it seemed different to actually see Jesus condemned, and a new feeling came over him. Suddenly it became more personal. Yes, he wasn't happy with his life, and things hadn't turned out the way he had planned, but that wasn't really Jesus' fault, and he didn't really want them to kill Jesus. He tried to shake off the feeling, but it wouldn't go away. It didn't seem like such a glamorous and glorious thing now, what he had done. In fact, it didn't feel good at all. Worse yet, it would not go away, and the pressure it was exerting on him was growing. Far from the peace he had sought to buy, he had instead inherited a war within himself. I know what I'll do. I'll make things right. I'll just go and undo what I've done. I'll tell them it was all a mistake and that I was wrong to approach them. They'll have to listen to my confession. They're priests. They'll know how I can make things right. But when he came to them bringing back the 30 pieces of silver, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood, all they said was, What is that to us? You see to it. He looked wildly around him. He rushed towards where the court of Israel adjoined to the priest's court, where sacrifices for the penitent were being offered. There he threw down the 30 pieces of silver and fled. They could have it. They could have it all. All he wanted now was for things to go back to the way they were. But that was now impossible. He knew he had betrayed innocent blood. He'd known it all along. He had felt the truth in his mind when he first started thinking about it. Hadn't he met with resistance, even in his own wicked heart? But over time he was able to master his conscience and pretend it wasn't him speaking. How stupid! Look what he'd done! And he couldn't undo it, and no one would help him. He had sinned and betrayed his master, and there was nothing anyone could do about it. Everywhere he went, everyone. The people, the houses, the earth and the sky accused him, and he had no defense. He found himself in the desolate valley of Hinnom. Scrambling among the clay soil, he found his way to the jagged rocks that rise perpendicularly there. Before he knew it, he was on top of a large rock. He could see more now on top of the rock. He could clearly see what had to be done. Slowly he unwound the long girdle that held his garment, the same girdle that had carried the 30 pieces of silver. He secured it around a branch of a nearby tree and made everything ready. Here was a final action that would go according to plan. This is what came of Judas's plans and his attempts to do something, to do things his way instead of Jesus' way. It's a tragic and sad story, for it's the story of fallen mankind. Judas is truly a son of Adam, carrying out to its logical inevitable end the wages of sin. Judas could have stopped this terrible trajectory any step along the way. He could have repented of stealing from the treasury. He could have submitted himself to Jesus, waiting for the kingdom of Christ, instead of relying on the kingdom of men. Even after he had betrayed his Lord, he could have allowed his remorse to become repentance. Jesus would have forgiven even this worst of betrayals. But Judas chose to do none of these things, but to continue to try to find his own solutions and answers. The wages of sin are death. And if we allow the sin in our lives to grow, at some point it takes on a life of its own, choking out the true life we've been offered. A sin is not just an isolated minor fault or failing, but is the seed of a life that is lived apart from God. And the end of a life lived apart from God is Judas's end. Judas is a picture of the inevitable end of sin. But Jesus, whom Judas, you and I have all betrayed, stands ready to forgive. No matter how small or great your sins or how numerous, Jesus stands ready to forgive you. Today, therefore, is a day to examine your conscience in your life and to make your confession to Christ your God.
Give Us This Day Evening Edition is a presentation of Always with Christ Radio in the Anglican Way.